Welcome to the Story Mine. I'm Kathy Barker, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Bullock.
Here at the Story Mine, we love to share stories.
And happy Mother's Day, Kathy.
Happy Mother's Day, Dave.
It is. This is a day of love. What do you think of when you think of your mother, Kathy?
I do think of love.
Well, listen up. Because this edition of the Story Mine is all about mother's love and the love we have for our mothers.
Today's storyteller is Kim Whitecamp, telling WZIX from her Penny Candy Love CD. Kim explains on the cover of her CD that recording these stories brought up so many memories of her mother that have become treasures to her and now to us.
You know, the stories on the Story Mine amount to less than 25 minutes out of your Sunday morning. Spend that time with us today. You won't regret it.
Here's Kim Whitecamp.
I remembered a story about my mom, and I got to interview my mom and dad and ask a lot of personal questions to get the fullness of this story. And so this is what I wrote for my mom. Now, when I would stand at the bus stop and wait for the bus, one of my favorite things to do was look down into the yard of our house, into the windows where my mama was always standing at the kitchen sink looking out until I got on that bus. Now, I know things are hard. I have daughters who have children. I have grandchildren. And you can't be home like you used to be, but I treasure the fact that the last thing I saw getting on that bus was my mom's face in between her little white ruffled curtains, that the first thing I saw when I got off was my mama's face at the screen door waiting on me. And I would look down as I stood at the bus stop and just feel love. Now, in the backyard of our little house, there was something you don't see much anymore, and that was laundry posts and laundry lines. It used to be that in every neighborhood, laundry was flapping in the wind, and it just doesn't happen anymore. My mom used to get giddy when women would hang their laundry. She'd say, "Oh, you can tell a lot about what's going on by what's hanging on the line." And you could. If little white squares of cloth began to show up, you knew the baby had been born. And if all of a sudden there was a line of very dark clothing, you knew that somebody had passed. You could tell a lot about what was going on in a house by what was hanging on the laundry line. And then if you walk in the back sliding glass doors, there's a little dining room table. And off to the right, there's a little bar where my sister and I used to sit and color. And then up the stairs is a couple bedrooms. Now, my bedroom, I shared with my sister. There were two twin beds, and there was a bookcase in the middle with a little radio. And I would come home after school every day and sit there and do my homework and listen to WZIX. WZIX played oldies, and I was a little strange in the fact from the other kids in my school, I was a little strange in the fact that I loved oldies, and that was because of my mom and dad. Now, down the hall, down the steps and down the hall, there was the den, and in the den is where we would, after we did labor in the yard. Hey, it was the 70s. You worked your kids. I mean, we were out there working. It was the era where you could hurt your children and get away with it. Hey, hey, hey. Or you could work them like dogs and no one said anything. We would be out picking green beans and weeds for 8 hours and no one said, "That's not nice." They'd say, "Oh, look at them. That's good. They're working those kids." It's a whole different world these days. But after we would get done working, we'd have our dinner and then we'd get baths and get in our pajamas and go into the den and sit in front of the huge TV console and watch The Wonderful World of Walt Disney. And Wild Kingdom, sponsored by Mutual of Omaha. And after I got older, I thought it was so weird that right before bed, my mom and dad would have us watch a show where the lions would rip the zebras to shreds and eat them. Like, do you know what that did to us kids? It was always, "And the lion preys upon the," and there he's got him. He's down. He's devouring him. And we're like, "Oh, it's time to go to bed now." Mess with our heads, but we would sit there with our bowls of Turkey Hill ice cream and our Mr. Salty pretzel sticks, and we'd watch those shows, and then we would wait. Because my dad would either say, "Kids, get on and put your bowls in the sink and get to bed," or he'd say, "Put your bowls in the sink and go sit on the stairs." Now, if he said, go sit on the stairs, that meant that my mom and dad were going to go into the good living room. The good living room was a place where we were not allowed to go as children. My mom would meticulously vacuum those perfect carpet fibers in these long lines. It was like a landscaper. She would vacuum up and back, go over, vacuum up and back and over until there were clean, mowed lines from the vacuum cleaner. And when she was done, she'd look at us and say, I'll know if you've been in there. It was like some world that was so distant. We were never allowed to tiptoe across that carpet and touch and look. There was a huge family Bible on the table with gold gilded edges she got from a salesman at the door. And it was open up to Moses on the Mount with these big stone tablets, a beautiful oil color, oil painting print. And then there was a curio cabinet filled with all these dainty things that we were never allowed to breathe on. At the far end of the good living room was a stereo console. And on top was a bowl of Buttermints. It was torture to stand there and see that perfect carpet and know that we weren't allowed to walk on it with that candy at the other side of the room. And we taught our little sister that when my mom was busy, she could walk down one of those lines, right down through the middle of one of those lines, grab Buttermints and brush the carpet back as she made her way to where we were. And slowly those Buttermints disappeared. And one night we heard my mom saying, Spike, if you want Buttermints, just tell me you want Buttermints. And my dad's like, Leanie, my mom's name's Leanie. Leanie, I'm not eating the Buttermints. Spike, you don't have to fib about it. If you want the Buttermints, I'm not going to. And we just sat there laughing, giving each other high fives. Now, those Buttermints sat on a stereo console. It was an old RCA. It was like 9 foot long. Stood about 3 foot high. Brown tweed over the speakers, RCA in gold plastic letters, bottom left-hand side. Had two doors on top, you'd slide one back, and when you did, there was a green glowing glass that had radio dial numbers on it, and a honking big knob that had real weight when you turned it. Behind that was where you put your records and you could stack them and play more than one. They'd drop and play and drop and play. Now on the left, there was a door that you'd slide back and there were records standing at attention. Doris Day, Eddie Arnold, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, my grandmother's favorite Engelbert Humperdinck. She used to stand there and play, when I sing you to sleep after the loving, and swoon over that album cover. Barbara Streisand. Fabulous music would come out of my mom and dad's stereo console. So when my dad said, put the bowls in the sink and get on the steps, we knew they were going to go into that good living room and play some music. And we'd sit on those stairs quiet as could be. And my mama would walk into that good living room across that perfectly manicured carpet, and she would stop for a moment and rest her hand on a gold plaque. And that gold plaque said, to Mommy Love Kyle, and the birth date and death date of my brother. My daddy got my mom that stereo console as a joyful reminder of Kyle's small life. And we would watch her stand there with her hand on that plaque. And then just a minute or two later, my dad would come in behind her and slip his arms around her and hold her. We'd hear her sigh. And that was the signal that she was going to pull back that left-hand door, pull out a record, and put it on and play. And my dad would take her in his arms and dance with her around the living room. Conway Twitty. He used to come home from work, smack her on the bum and go, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? Hey, good looking, what you got cooking for me? And she'd go, oh, Spike, get out of here. The kids are looking. Do you know that they did a survey recently and the kids said they'd rather know that their parents love each other than that their parents love them? It did me good to see my mom and daddy loving on each other. But as much as I enjoyed it and as much as it gave me security and a warm feeling, when my dad would rotate my mom around that living room and her face would turn towards us, she was far, far away. and there was peace and there was pain on her face. And I didn't understand what she was experiencing in that living room, listening to that music on that stereo console, and I felt outside of things. And you have to understand that as a little girl, I worshiped the ground my mother walked on till I turned 16. If I had extra money, I went and bought something for my mother. If there were flowers to be picked, I'd pick them for my mother. If there was something to make in art, I made it with love to mother. That's the way it was. I love my mom. And it bothered me that there was something happening there that I could not connect to. Wherever my mother was, there I was also. If she was in the kitchen, I was in the kitchen talking to her. If she was doing ironing, I was laying on the floor looking up at her talking to her. And I felt outside of things. And I didn't know what to do about it. Till one day I came home from school, ran upstairs to my bedroom, threw my homework down between those beds, turned on WZIX, and Hal Raymond came on and said, "Hey, it's Wednesday, and starting this week, every Wednesday, I'm going to be giving away a free album. Whatever day of the month it is, you be that caller, and you're going to win. 717-757-5957. I ran down to that avocado green phone that hung on the wall with a 150-foot cord. I rotary dialed. It was painstakingly long. Busy signal, busy signal, busy signal. Every Wednesday for weeks I tried. A couple times I got through and they said, "We're sorry, you're not the right caller." And then I remember one Wednesday, it was the 11th. I tuned in faithfully. There was Hal with his deep, rich, booming voice. And he said, "It's time to give away the album of the day. We got an oldies album with your name on it. 717-757-5957. Be caller number 11. I ran down to the kitchen, picked up that phone, dialed, 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 busy, 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 click, hello, WZIX. I said, "Yes." I said, "Am I caller number 11? "Yes, you are. And we're going to put you on hold and get your information, but you've won the album of the day. What's your favorite radio station?" "WZIX." He said, "How old are you?" I said, 10. He said, "Well, I think you're my youngest listener." He said, "I appreciate you listening. Please hold." Put me on hold, came back and took my name and my phone number and told me that I had to go down to the radio station to pick up that album. When my dad came home, I said, "Dad, on Saturday, you got to come home from work just a little bit early and take me into York. This is big time. We're going into the town, the city of York. We lived out in the Lancaster suburbs of Amish country. Big time." I said, "I have won an album, and I'm going to give it to Mom." He said, "You did?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I won it from Hal Raymond, and I have to pick it up Saturday." He said, "Well, Kimmy, I'll come home early, and I'll take you down there." He did, true to his word. Came home early, put me in the car, and said, "Leanie, I'm taking Kimmy with me to run some errands." We went down into York, and he said, "There's no parking. I'm going to circle. You go inside that building, go up there to the third floor, and you get your album. You come right back down and wait inside those glass doors, and when you see me pull up, you come out and get in the car." I went inside that building and rode an elevator for the first time by myself. I was so grown up. The doors on the third floor opened, and there were big red letters that said WZIX and a lady sitting at a desk, and I walked in, and I said, "I'm here to pick up an album that I won from Hal Raymond." And then I heard it behind me, Hal Raymond's voice. He said, "Well, you must be Kimmy Givler." And I turned around, and he wasn't near as good looking as his voice sounded. True reality check. I said, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said, "Well, you hold on a minute." And he went behind the desk, got a cardboard box, pulled it up, went through, and pulled out an album. Now, you have to understand something. Our bedtime was always 8:30. But my mama would always let me, the only one she would let up, later than 8:30 when Elvis Presley was on TV. I loved Elvis Presley. I loved him when he was with Ann Margaret. I loved him with all those girls shimmying and shaking. I loved him in his cool clothing and his cars and his slick back hair. I haven't loved him when he was fat and pudging out of those white polyester, bell-bottom, sweaty Hawaii concert suits. I loved Elvis Presley. And Hal Raymond leaned over and handed me the album I had won, and there it was. Pale blue suits, black ties, a white church in the background, Elvis slicked back, a gospel album. And I looked at him and I said, "I love Elvis." And he said, "Well, I'm glad you've won this." I said, "I'm going to give it to my mom." And he said, "Well, that's really sweet." I thanked him, went down the elevator, waited inside those glass doors till I saw my daddy, ran out, got in the car. He looked down and saw who was on that album and said, "Kimmy, why don't you just keep that and play it on your little Emerson record player?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "This is for Mom." He said, "Okay." We went home. I ran upstairs and stuck that record between the mattress and the box spring. We went through the day as normal, child labor, a good solid dinner, a nice hot quick bath, and then our ice cream and Mr. Salty pretzels in the den. And my dad said, "Kids, go put those bowls in the sink and sit on the stairs." And he looked at me and winked. All the kids went to the stairs. I ran up, got that album, held it behind my back, and waited. My mom went into that good living room, rested her hand on that plaque. She slid back the door and went to pull out an album. My dad said, "Leanie, why don't you hold on a minute?" She said, he looked at me, he said, "Kimmy, come here." And I walked across that carpet. My brothers and sisters were in awe. I walked up to my mama. I held that album out and I said, "Look, Mom," I said, "this is for you. I got it for you." And she goes, "Oh my gosh, Kimmy, what did you do?" And I looked at her, I said, "Mom, no," I said, "I won this for you from WZIX, Hal Raymond." I said, "I won it off the show." And she said, "You did?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Kimmy, it's Elvis. Are you sure you don't want to keep this and play this on your little portable Emerson?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "That's for you." She turned around and slid that record out of its holder, popped it into that stereo console, and beautiful music began to fill the air. I went back and sat on the steps, and my mom and dad danced a gospel that day. And I don't think God minded a bit. "I come to the garden alone while the dew..." He was nibbling on her ear. Talk about mixed messages. "While the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear..." And then he whispered in her ear. And when he circled her around that living room and her face turned where I could see it, her eyes were open. And she was looking right at me and she smiled. And I was with her. I guess it was a couple months later, I came home from school. And she said, "Kids, I want you to go down to the basement, but Kimmy, you come in the kitchen with me. I need to talk to you." I went into the kitchen and she said, "I want you to sit down, honey. I have something I have to tell you." I sat down and I thought, "Oh my Lord, what did I do?" She finally found out. Let's go through the list. You know how you do that in your head? You start going, okay, that. Which one's it going to be? She found out. But she wasn't cross with me. She got down on her knees and she took my hands and she said, "Kimmy, honey, I have something to tell you. Elvis Presley has died." I said, "What?" She said, "Honey, Elvis is dead." I said, "That's impossible because I watch him on TV all the time." And I said, I don't understand how that can be. And she goes, "Kimmy, he's dead. And I'm sorry." And I said, "I don't know how to feel. I didn't know him, but I knew him." I said, "Mom, I loved him." I said, "I'm confused. I don't understand this." I said, "I don't know what to do." She said, "I do." And she took me by the hand and led me across that beautiful manicured carpet, slid back the door, and popped on an album, took me in her arms, and danced with me in the living room. "Love Me Tender" filled the air. It's my mama.
Dishes, fixing hurts with loving and kisses, trying hard to teach me what's right and what's wrong, singing me to sleep with a sweet, sweet song. Mama was always there, showing me that she cared. With all the little things that she'd do, and saying, I love you. Picking me up and holding me tight, chasing fears in the middle of the night, giving me strength and helping me stand, letting me go but still holding my hand. Mama was always there, showing me that she cared. With all the little things that she'd do, and saying, I love you. Now I got babies of my own. They're walking away because they're full grown. And when they turn and look back at me, I hope it's my mama's reflection they see. They'll say mama was always there, showing me that she cared. With all the little things that she do, and saying, I love you. I love you.
We hope that you enjoyed today's Mother's Day story.
If you have a story to share, contact us at thestorymine@gmail.com.
This is Dave Bullock
and Kathy Barker
wishing you a happy Mother's Day.